Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good week. Hope you guys are enjoying this sermon and teaching series on discipleship. This is part 12. And if you're just tuning in, I encourage you guys to go back to part 1. And the way the website is set up is you have to scroll down so you can pull up part 1. And now we're on part 12, and this is going to be the last one of this series. And of course, I'm going to pray and see where the Lord takes us next week. But discipleship has, well, beginning of this year really was, but it's been in my mind a lot about when we leave Sunday, what do we take home with us, right? Pray that you attend the Bible. Well, I always call the Sunday morning discipleship training. We in the country call that Sunday school, but it's discipleship training. That's what it is. Hoping you're retaining something from that study. Hope you attend that study. That is just as important as attending the main service. And then if you have a Sunday night discipleship training, attain that. Those discipleship trainings are important. And hopefully you have a pastor or whoever you have at your church that is gifted. And there are many that are not gifted in the pulpit doing this. It's just the days that we're living in. They shouldn't be there. And that's a whole different topic. And if you have Wednesday night discipleship training, hope you're making. All those are important. What are we taking with us when we walk out? And of course, the pastor or the preacher in the pulpit, he kind of, if he's being led by the Spirit, and if he's doing what the Lord has set him to do, he is a teacher, and he is a preacher. And that those will kind of bounce back and forth. And that is a form of discipleship training too. So I pray those that are in leadership positions that they are leading their local church. And leading, I mean, in a sense, they're teaching the importance of carrying the gospel out to this world. It's hurting. It's been hurting. And it will get worse. And as the time draws near, it's very important for us to be able to keep on letting our light shine and keep on proclaiming the gospel, right? Regardless of the cost. And of course, as always, you guys can hit me up on Facebook. You can send me a friend request. Just announce that you are, let me know that you're following this website, Twitter, MeWe, Social Cross, and of course through my website, you can email me. So if you ever have any questions, I have myself access to you guys for any kind of questions. And when it comes to discipleship, salvation, whatever, you know, I'm no expert. I'm just a humble man of God that loves Jesus and His Word. So the last topic tonight will be on prayer. If you go back probably 4 or 5, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. And I want to tell you, with spiritual warfare, prayer is critical. But prayer is critical, period. It's important for spiritual warfare. It is important in living a Christ-like life among the lost. And tonight we'll look at that last, well, not really the last verse, but Ephesians 6. Verse 18, that's Ephesians 6:18, and of course we went through the whole armor of God. I love speaking about spiritual warfare. I love teaching on spiritual warfare. I believe it's most churches today, they don't really teach on it, and the ones that do, it's usually it's unbiblical, because they start drawing out stuff that's not in the scriptures. We should lean on the Word of God. I've read my share of spiritual warfare books. And I can give you a bunch of authors that it seems like they're trying to make money and they're just trying to make their own Bible when it comes to spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is really simple. What the Word of God tells us to handle spiritual warfare, to stand in the power, in the might of our God. It's all Him. It's nothing that we do. Our authority doesn't mean nothing, right? It's authority of God. When we start trying to present ourselves above God and thinking we're high and mighty or we have authority, we have none. It's all through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's very important to recognize and humble ourselves at a holy and righteous God. And don't think we are more than what we aren't. We are deprived. We're filthy rags. We're nothing without Jesus. But man, there's many out there who really think they're something. They really think they can command God and angels. And some will listen to this and get ticked. But that's all right. Get ticked. Somebody needs to call them out. Ephesians 6:18. Short verse, a lot of things going on. Let's give it a read here. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. As you guys bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come tonight thanking you for the opportunity, Lord, to go deeper into your word. To seek your face, to humble our hearts in this mid part of the week. To reflect on Monday and Tuesday, and are we really being what you need us to be? Have we told anybody about Jesus? Have we let our light shine? Have we led somebody to the cross? Have our life pointed to you? Have we decreased while you can increase? Have we laid everything at your feet and surrender all every day, beating our flesh in submission daily? Knowing our flesh wants to do whatever it wants, but we say no because the Holy Spirit that's in us will keep us and will give us the strength to beat that flesh in submission so we don't do what we want to do, but we do what you want us to do, God. To seek your face more. To know you more. To dig deeper into scriptures and have a life of prayer from the morning to the night. Praying without ceasing. Lord, I pray that you be with those that are going through difficult times. Maybe a sickness, illness. Maybe it's this coronavirus, flu. Nobody likes to be sick. Lord, in their time of sickness, give them strength to rise above it. Guide and direct their life that points to you. Lord, I pray those that may be facing financial loss, bankruptcy, maybe a broken marriage, broken family, maybe hunger because they can't buy groceries to put on their table. Lord, I pray you know the needs, you know what's going on. And your hand reaches all across from Louisiana all the way to the ends of the world, from China to Japan. You hold us all in your hands. You know what's going on. Your will be done regardless if we don't understand it at this time. We know we're living in a cursed world, a fallen world. It was not anything you did, it's all what we have done. Lord, I pray that you be with us tonight as we go through this last portion, this last part of this Bible study. I pray, Lord, these messages reaches. I know they will reach somebody. Maybe one person, two person, I don't know. Maybe when I'm dead and gone, these messages will live on and somebody may hear them. I don't know. But I know your will be done regardless. Your war does not go void. It will reach beyond what we can imagine. Thank you for using us as your humble vessels. Thank you for allowing us to be your hands and feet. You don't need us, Jesus. We need you. We need you morning, all through the day, and at night. Keep us as we sleep. Pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, Ephesians 6, 18. And of course, we know this is a prison epistle. Paul wrote this epistle while he was in prison. Writing an encouragement to others. Can you imagine writing a letter of encouragement while you're inside a prison? To those that are outside. Not in a prison. Well, not a physical prison. Maybe they're in a spiritual prison. And we see Paul's struggles. And we see how he pressed on. And what gives me encouragement is Paul was a man of prayer. He had that fellowship with God. We can draw a lot from his life that points to Jesus. Many of us cannot barely get up early enough in the morning to pray. We don't have enough time to have that sweet fellowship with our God. And we got our freedom right now in America. Nothing's holding us back except ourselves and, of course, the enemy. He wants to make you feel busy. You know, when I look at the Christian church in America, I get sick to my stomach. This progressive liberal theology. And just the lack of prayer. The lack of seeking God through His Word. The lack of standing on the Word of God. When the world system is telling us how to. They have the path. They know what's good. I want to tell you, this world is Satan's world. God created it. And you can see that in Matthew 4. When Satan brings Jesus up and shows him, you can have all these kingdoms. Jesus knew the curse. He was there. He knew the fall of man and the depravity of the human race. He knows the end, and he was there for the beginning. And what's sad today, you will see this world system influencing our children, telling us how to raise our children, how they should behave. God is not important. Let's take evolution. That's been the new God for a time now. Raising our kids to believe in evolution, that is a sickness. They start believing in evolution, become Darwinism. That is the anti-God in our schools that are being taught. I want to tell you, our children are being influenced, and they have been influenced. The ones that are now adults, young, what we call, I guess, Generation Z, I think. Maybe it's maybe the millennium. But the 18, 20-year-olds, and I call them kids. I'm almost 41 now, so I guess I can get away with calling them kids. The older folks may still view me as a kid, and I'll take that. I am still young. I'm not as young as in my teens. I'm getting older. But what I see is, even when I was a kid, evolution was not pushed as hard as it's being pushed now. And what breaks my heart when I look at the churches and the lack of attending a church on Sunday, bringing your kids to church on Sunday, bringing yourself on church. And I'm not speaking of the main service. I'm speaking of the Sunday class, the discipleship training. And if you have a night service, that night disciple training on Wednesday, right? They will rather skip it if a baseball or football or their favorite TV show, movies, you know, they're showing their priorities in this life. And it's reflecting onto their children. When you miss a Sunday service because you got a football game or you're attending a football game and you're sitting the present of what is most important in your life. And then when your kid grows up, you wonder why they don't want nothing to do with God. You are the fault. You have no one to blame except yourself. This new version of American Christianity is sickening. You know, we want a new version, right? When you see the new model cars come out and the trucks and the newer houses and the phone, especially the phones, right? But new is not always good. This new age, progressive, modern day Christianity tells you, you do not have to pray. You do not have to suffer for anything. There is no hell. But they want to believe in a heaven because that makes them feel pretty good. But Jesus tells us, if there's a heaven, there has to be a hell. By default, if there's no heaven, there's no hell, then there's nothing. Right? Matthew 7:13-14 says this, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction." Listen to that again, guys. Enter ye at the straight gate. Wide, that broad way leads to destruction. And Jesus tells us, "And many there be will go in thereat." Many will go that way. Verse 14 says, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way." There's only one way to Jesus, and that is the narrow way that leads unto life. That is everlasting life. That is heaven. So we take that life as internal everlasting life. We can look up there and look at destruction, and that means hell. But that narrow way, Jesus tells us, and there few there will find it. Sad passages, right? Many will go down that easy, that wide, that broad way that leads straight to hell. And the thing that breaks my heart, many will be those within our churches. And few will accept that narrow way that is harder. But it will have pain in the path. It will have suffering. But through that pain and through that suffering, you can find the heart of Jesus. Wipe your mind away, whoever may have told you that Christianity is easy. There's a time, I believe, coming in America where it will cost us something. Just not people on the Facebook hating, spouting their hate toward you. I believe it will get real. Some may even go to jail. But we have to understand, through that suffering, through that pain, this life that we live on this earth, this is not our home. Why do we get so comfortable living on this earth? Our home is heaven. Our true home. I don't want nothing to do with this cursed world other than preaching and proclaiming the gospel. Right? Our hope is in Jesus. He's the anchor of our soul. Without Him, I could not function. Literally, I could not. And through prayer, that communication with Jesus, being able to talk to Him daily, I love it. And I pray that you do too. Through that prayer, we understand what it means to be a child of God and what it means to be a disciple and a soldier for God. As Paul, our life should radiate prayer from the very beginning. But you really think about, where did Paul get that from? Got it from the original disciples, which got it from Jesus. Jesus was a man of prayer from the beginning of his life, when his ministry began. We don't know too much about his early days. Don't let people try to tell you about the early days. We don't know that much. We don't know much about the young Jesus. But what we do know is when his ministry began, before he even selected the disciples, he was praying. He prayed all the way to the very end, to the cross, as they crucified him. That blood that ran red, the pain, he felt every bit of it. Never let nobody tell you he didn't feel it. He had to take the sins of the world, and that was ugly. The crucifixion was ugly, but it had to be done. It had to be done because nobody else could pay that price. But as he lay there dying, being scorned, being ripped apart, by being mocked, by being looked at, saying, come from that cross and save yourself. You can't even save yourself. He looked down and he prayed for those that were killing him. It had to be done, right? Jesus was a man of prayer. And that's where the disciples learned how to pray. A simple verse that it's really easy to memorize, right? It's 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, right? And this is Paul again, right? I just could picture Paul, man of prayer, writing prayer everything and everything he done. But you see, Paul, he had that come to Jesus moment, as we would say. He had that encounter on the road to Damascus. Of course, you can read that in Acts 9, where Paul was struck blind by God and was blind for 3 days. Could you imagine, you're going about your business, right? And then a light from heaven so bright it knocks him off his horse. And a voice from heaven shakes you to the core. Now you're on the ground shocked. You cannot see. And guess what? When God speaks, you will know. There will be no second guessing. Sometimes I believe that God needs to strike us blind, for us to get the point, to be in that darkness for a while, to get our attention, to rattle us. That's grace and mercy. I want him to rattle me. We know that Paul received his physical eyesight, and that encounter led to experience, and his life was never the same. And that's how it's supposed to be, guys. When we have that encounter with Jesus, our life is no longer the same. If you're seeking to live the old life, you want to be part of that. You want to have heaven now and heaven later. And when I say that word heaven, I'm meaning it in a flesh and material way. The way you want to blend in and conform to this world. You can cuss any way you want. You can drink whatever you want. You can commit adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, uncleanness. You can go to Galatians 5 and look at the flesh, the works of the flesh. that witchcraft and that idolatry. Idolatry is putting anything before God. And if you put anything before God, you are guilty. Right? Prayer. Prayer. We should be people of prayer. Children of God, live in prayer without ceasing. You know, it's very important to, if you're working a morning shift, to get up early and pray. If a preacher tells you no, then they got issues and they need to pray. And I'll call them out on it. And throughout the day, you carry that prayer in your heart. You don't have to be showy. It's just silent prayers throughout the day. Thank you, Lord, for letting me get out of this car. Lord, thank you, Lord, for giving me the strength to endure with that difficult person. And when we sin and lose our cool, we repent, of course. That's repentance. That's very important. We turn from that wickedness and we lay it at the foot of the cross. Part of prayer is repentance. It's asking forgiveness. Repentance can be a daily thing. I know, and maybe you are better than I am. I have to repent daily. I have to beat myself in submission daily in the mornings. Oh, Jonathan is not a morning person. And I don't really like to see too many people in the mornings. I'm really grumpy. But I have to beat that spirit in submission every morning. Maybe you're not like that. If not, you're praise God. But it may be something else. Prayer is beating ourselves in submission. Is what we would say persistence, right? Being persistence. Pushing forward. You know, I was looking at this sermon and praying over this sermon, and I started thinking of the widow in Luke 18, 1 through 8. That's Luke 18, 1 through 8. And it goes like this. And he spoke a parable to them to this end. That was Jesus. That a man ought always to pray and not to faint. Listen to those words. A man. And of course we know when that word man is also including women. Always to pray and not to faint. If anymore you could say, we as children of God ought to always to pray and not to faint. In verse 2 saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in the city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but after he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because of this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, at least by her continuous coming she wearies me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cried day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man come, shall he find faith on this earth? And there's a lot going on in this passage. You have this unjust judge. It's kind of like our judges today. The Supreme Court judges. Maybe a few of them now. They don't fear God. If you look at our government in a whole, the fear of God is not there. But this widow, she kept persisting. She kept pushing through her prayers over and over and over, nonstop. God was listening, right? He cares. He will answer your prayer one way or the other, but we got to be careful. We really get our mindset on how He should answer our prayers. We really get a mindset on what the outcome should be. I want to tell you, the outcome can be something totally different. I promise you. When I pray, this is from experience, I pray for something. God answers. But then I'm like, wait a minute, that ain't how I envision it. And then I feel like a fool because I am to a holy God. My little mind is trying to wrap my mind around a God that is infinite. He sees me right now preaching. And He sees those in China preaching. He sees those in Korea preaching. All the countries, He sees them. And how can I wrap my mind around that? I can't. Except humble myself day and night, praying to a holy God that His grace and mercy endures forever. It wasn't for that mercy and grace, we all would deserve a devil's hell. We all would not deserve salvation. He chooses us. Really, He chooses us. He chose us for the foundation of the earth, right? He chose us. That should humble you to your core. Why wouldn't you want to communicate with God? Why wouldn't you want to seek God daily through prayer? Why wouldn't you want to walk in step with Jesus and give your whole life to Him and let Him guide you and direct you, not yourself? When you're praying, when you're seeking His face, you will not have to guess. No, you will not have to guess what your purpose and your will on this earth is, because He will provide every day a purpose and a will. You see, when we start praying, our heart changes. We start getting a heart for Jesus. When we're praying without ceasing every day, our heart is pumping for Jesus. What excites this world should not excite us. What should excite us is seeking God's face daily and reaching those around with the gospel. And these are not my words. Matthew 6:19-21 says this: lay up for yourself treasures up on this earth. Lay not where moth and rust do corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Where does your treasure lie? Where does your desire lie? Where does your passion lie? Where do you point your life at? Where is your heart right now? Your treasure's more on that promotion at work, getting that new car, truck, house, bass boat, working those long hours, skipping Sunday services, Wednesday services, right? You are willing to compromise who you are. Are you focusing on learning more through prayer and through those Sunday services and Wednesday services, those daily devotionals that you should be doing every day? God wants your heart. It's precious to Him. But guess what? Satan does too. Demons want your heart too. And one way they achieve this, I've used this example numerous times. It's not mine. I heard somebody once talk about it. I can't remember who. busy. Being under Satan's yoke. That is being under Satan's yoke. We get up in the mornings. Man, the whole day rushes like a jackhammer on our minds. I know it does mine. Because I'm the kind of person that it's like all these things I got to get done. And I'm already in a bad mood already. Because I'm more of a night person. And you're just letting all that, and you're like, I gotta do this, and I gotta do that, and I don't feel like doing that, and I'm mad now. It's all the works of Satan. He wants you to be in a bad mood. He wants you to feel so rushed that you don't take time. And that time is between you and God. It could be 5 minutes, 10 minutes. 30 minutes, hour, 2 hours. I have my time with God. And that's between me and Him. That's between you and God. How long? You need to spend in the mornings. Now, if you work a night shift, and I worked a night shift for many years, or evening shifts. I've done evening shifts. I've even done swing shifts. Where you don't even know if it's the morning or if you guys work swing shifts before. Maybe you haven't. Your days are all so mixed up. You work some mornings, some nights, some evenings, and you don't even know if you're coming and going. I've done that. That's horrible. So that may look like that, but you are set on a schedule most of the time. I'm not a preacher that have not. I started working when I was 12 and still working a full-time circular job while preaching. I don't live in a nice box, cardboard. Those that preach what people want to hear today, they have mansions pretty much because people want to hear that. And that's not my opinion. The most popular is Google Joel Osteen. Even though people come out and say this guy's a heretic, and that clearly showing Bible scriptures where he deviates from, still his church is growing. Why? It's no mystery. We live in the last days. People do not want to heed sound doctrine. They will heed doctrines of devil, and that's why at the beginning of this, when Jesus says, many will go down that wide way. And the people in Joel sing, I don't know their hearts. I don't know where they lie. But I know this for a fact. Because the Word of God tells us. God will reveal it to them one way or the other. And I had people tag me on Facebook and others about Joel Osteen defending him after I point out scriptures. And they're defending him for scriptures. So I kind of got the mindset of quite a few of them there. They don't care about the Word of God. They rather worship a man. You know, I look at I don't know if you guys follow Duck Dynasty. They're kind of gone now, but it's really a really good series. 10 seasons, basically, and they're pointing to God. And if you're very familiar, especially in the South, and those are Louisianans. I've never met them, but I know Monroe, and I've been through Monroe, and I never went and visited them or their church. But, you know, when you watch that series, you really will, which was kind of one of the head, lead persons on that series. He said this, money can come and go. Fame comes and go. Peace of mind and a relationship with God is far more important. So this is the president that we have set in our lives. And in most of the shows that I've watched probably all of them, I think I might have missed one. They end with prayer. Prayer. Praying throughout the day. Praying morning and night. Turn off that television. Focus more on prayer. And of course, studying your Bible before you go to sleep. Don't let that TV put you to sleep. All these material things that you will gain in life don't mean nothing if you don't have Jesus in your heart. And the way to have that is through prayer. And the question I want to ask you guys tonight, does your life radiate with prayer? And if it don't, man, you can change that. Prayer changes your heart. When you start realizing you are nothing without God, and that you need that daily communication with God, and even if you're on that mountain, you're on that mountain, you won't stay on that mountain, but praise God in the mountain. Keep praying. Thank God for that mountain. Thank God. But also when you hit those valleys, thank God for those valleys. Thank God for that pain and suffering. Because why? That pain and that suffering, I guarantee you, is growing. You press on. Keep praying. So in that pain and suffering, you understand. You start getting a heart for God. You start getting a heart for reaching people around you. You start understanding. And not many of you guys will... Maybe if y'all haven't followed me for a while, a little bit, you know, I suffer from depression. A lot of it I've done on myself. Many years of running from my calling to preach the gospel. Because I was seeking that American dream. And I probably would have got it. It would have been devastating. I would have still... been drinking alcohol and doing whatever drug I could get my hands on. I wouldn't have been happy. Even if I achieved that nice house and nice car and boat. Be like those rich people. Have everything that you can imagine and still not fulfilled. Because why? There's only one that can fill that void. And that is, of course, Jesus Christ, right? I want to hit on sin, too. Because sin destroys your prayer life with God. Sin breaks that fellowship with God. If you don't believe me, you can look throughout the Bible and look at several historical figures in the Bible. Example, David. Maybe you guys have heard of David. I pray that you have. His story begins in 1 and 2 Samuel, right? And I encourage you guys to check it out. But this kid was, you know, if you look at the very beginning, he was a shepherd. And he was a good shepherd. And he would rescue the sheep if they wander off. In one account, he tells of how he rescued a sheep in the grips of death from a bear and a lion. Could you imagine that little sheep within the grip of a bear, and this little kid just comes on there, comes around, and he pretty much rescues that sheep. And then you continue, and you may have heard of the historical accurate account of David and Goliath. And some believe David was around that time. He was 12 to 20. So by our standards, 12 to 20, he was not very old. We would consider him a child by our standards. And of course, we can, if you read that story, you'll see how the Saul army shaking as Goliath taunts them. And of course, we know little David rises up to the occasion, and Goliath looks at him and laughs and mocks him. But we know that through God placing him in position, he slew Goliath. And we know that he became part of Saul's army. I mean, the story goes on, and we know he becomes known for the next kingship or the king. And we can read through how time passed, and David allows compromise over compromise to start drowning his prayer life and his mission in life, his walk with God, right? And we know this by his sin with Bathsheba, a married woman. Some will go far to say that he forced himself. But we know in that day, David the king. People had to do what he said. And we know that he became with child, or she became with child, and we know how he in despair, he tried to, well, he did have her, well, he first tried to get her husband to stay with her so he could hide his sin of her being pregnated, but it didn't work, so David had her husband kill Uriah. Sin upon sin. Sin upon sin. And we can read that the prophet Nathan called him out on his sins. See, David allowed Satan to come into his life. He started drifting from God. Listen today, guys. If you're drifting from God, it's not too late to realize this. Maybe your prayer life is lacking. Maybe you feel far from God. I don't know where you at. I don't know. I probably never met you. I might have met some of you guys. But God knows who you are, and he cares. And we have to understand, sin in our life destroys our prayer life. It destroyed David's. In his prayer with these sins, you can see in Psalms 51, 1 through 17. It's really beautiful. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear unto thy judges. Behold, I was sharp in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desired truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which I have broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out my iniquity. Create in me. Listen, guys. He said, create in me a clean heart. O God, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a free spirit. Then will I teach, will teach transgressors thy way, and the sinner shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thy God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing out loud thy righteousness. O God, open thy lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praises, for thy desire not sacrifice. Yes, I give it. By the light and burnt offering, the sacrifice of God, are a broken spirit, a broken and contrived heart, O God, that has not despised. Wow. Can you see David asking forgiveness? Can you see him asking for his getting that confession out there, right? And asking for that restoring of his relationship with God. In that last part, verse 17 says, the sacrifice, God, broken spirit, broken and contrived heart, O God, I will not despise. How many are praying tonight or throughout the day, break me, make me, break my bones so they can rejoice. Break me in pieces so I will see what you need me to see, that I can walk the way you need me to walk. Not my life, but yours. It's beautiful, right? It's beautiful. We should die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31 says this, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. Of course, it's Paul again. The phrase die daily We may get a little intimidated by that, but we shouldn't. We have the Holy Spirit that should guide us and help us to achieve this. And one way to die daily is through prayer. It is also living that crucified life, crucifying our flesh. And we can see this in Paul's writings, where he says, in paraphrasing that, he's doing what he's not supposed to do. But he should be doing what he knows he should do. That struggle. He died daily through the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit is in a child of God. And what we know about the Holy Spirit is that it will guide us. It will direct us. Because we are children of God. In Hebrews 12, 6 through 8 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son." And of course, that's daughter too. "Who he received, he scourges us, he chastens us." Verse 7, "If ye endure chastening, God deal with you as with sons." And of course, daughters. And what a son or daughter is, he or she from the father chasten not, but without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. That is us as children of God, sons and daughters. Ye are bastards if you don't receive that. The Holy Spirit keeps us in line. When we get off course. And we don't have to be confused with what sin is. It's amazing how people want to try to justify what sin is. It's clear in the scriptures. One of my favorite, you can find it throughout scripture what sin is, but one of my favorite key biblical passages I like to reference is Galatians 5, 19 through 21. When it speaks of the works of the flesh, and it speaks of adultery, fornication. And when we look at adultery and fornication, what is those? I encourage you to look those up. There's sexual immorality. And you hear that uncleanness and lasciviousness, idolatry. Anything we put for God. And if you decide to go to a football game and skip church, you are a idolater. Witchcraft. Hate. Variance. Immolation. Wrath. Strive. Sedition. Heresies. Envy. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelling. And such like. At of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit. There's no but clause, guys, here. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Think of that path again, guys. That narrow path that leads to heaven. And that wide that leads to hell. These sins are devastating. And if you're living openly in these sins and not being corrected, not being chastened, not my words, but the word of God, you are not his. Tells us you are bastards. Amazing when you hear preachers preach on this, they will use a different language. We're sugarcoating it too much. And we're paying the price. I believe America is under the judgment of God. I believe it will increase as we move farther and farther from the Word of God. But the good news is, you don't have to. You don't have to. We know there's a better way. We know that God sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins. If you flip over there, John 3:16, 17, 18. For God so loved the world. He loved this world, guys. That he gave his only begotten Son. That whoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. For God sent not his Son of the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. Amen. Might be saved. Verse 18, he that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not. Those that choose not to believe are condemned already. As many. Because he have not believed in the name, the only begotten name of the Son of God. What you will see is John 3:16 as a key salvation scripture. You will hear what this term, easy believism. I encourage you guys to look it up. Just say the name, you're saved. And yes, they use that in Romans. Those that confess his name will be saved. But as always, we should look at the whole Bible when it comes to salvation from the very beginning to the end. The very beginning of sin that came into this world. Through what? Not because of God, because of man and woman that he created. He did not create robots. He wants open worship. He wants a willing soul to do what he needs. And Eve made a bad decision. Adam made a bad decision. I guess that would be an understatement. It was the worst decision a person could make at that time because they were the only two living. They ate of a tree that they knew they were not supposed to. That sin, that original sin, comes into the God's creation and we have the curse. It begins in Genesis. It will end in Revelations. Jesus had to come to die for that sin and all the other sins that were compound from the murder to up to the polygamy to the incest. If you read the Old Testament, it's probably NC-17 rating. If somebody did a movie on the Old Testament, most people would be offended, couldn't watch it. That is the new Old Testament. Come on. Let's sugarcoat it. Let's fake it up. And then we look at this world and we're scratching our heads. And we are the problem. God is not the problem. He gives the way. He gives the way. And that way is through Jesus Christ. We know that he was the Son of God. We know he had to live this in this world for a time. A lot of what we will look is pretty much Jesus was that his ministry was 3.5. Some will drop that down to a year, but really doesn't matter. Within that time frame, it was he did amazing things because he was the Son of God. He pointed to God and he pointed to how we can live this life with him. And we know when he was crucified, he was dead. We know that he was placed in that tomb. And we know that he rose and he was seen by many. And we know that he went to heaven to his Father. And we know he gave us the Holy Spirit to live each and every one of us that confess his name. That is what it means to be saved. We confess his name. And when we confess his name, we commit to that confession. Meaning our lives are now not ours. We are disciples. Salvation and discipleship they're not separate. They go together. That's why Jesus tells us to count the costs. Because there will be a cost. Are you willing to lose it all and still point to Jesus as Paul sat in prison, knowing death was coming his way? He did not regret one single thing. He literally says that his life would have been useless without Jesus. He says, dung, crap. If it wasn't for Jesus, everything else did not matter. Can you say that about your life? Can you say it about your life that you want that communication, that you want that fellowship? You seek him like a passion, desire that you never felt to keep pushing forward. to pray, to seek His face, to be different, to be regenerated, to be His disciple, to count that cost regardless what it may cost, to die daily, to crucify that flesh through the Holy Spirit, pressing all to the end, those that persevere, that endures to the end. Some people will not realize that salvation is also a future tense. That's when it speaks of us persisting to the end. Persisting to the end. Those that persist to the end will be saved. And that's not my words, that's in the Bible. Those that persist to the end will endure. And it's through the blood. It's through the blood. It's through the blood of the Lamb. Our testimony. We are overcomers in Jesus Christ. We realize this world is not our home. We realize we're just passing through. If tonight was my last night on this earth, thank you, Jesus, I'm going home. I don't want nothing to do with this world. This world does not bring me no joy. What only brings me joy is through my praying and my fasting, through my Bible reading, through lifting God's name up and humbling myself and proclaiming the gospel. Prayer. Are you a prayer warrior? Does life radiate from your life? I want to leave you with those questions. And the good news is, listening to this podcast, maybe it rattled you. Maybe it's shooken you. I'm not here for myself. I'm not here to make a name for myself. Many are. Only name that matters is Jesus. If today was my last day, these were my last words. There are the words to the Holy Spirit that's in me. With a passion and desire to rattle and shake, especially here in America, the churches, where prayer has, and that fellowship has, drifted away. I know I won't ever be popular in this world, and that's fine. Most will hear this message and just strike it out as a madman preaching from a old book. But I will preach it until my last dying breath. And if there's only one that hears this message or these messages, I encourage you guys to listen through this whole series. If I say something wrong, maybe misspoke, call me out on it. We can talk. You better make sure you're reading your Bible, though, before you call me out. Especially when I'm using scriptures and clinging on scriptures. We are supposed to be children of prayer. As Paul models that. But he modeled that from disciples. It all traces back to Jesus. Jesus was a man of prayer. I encourage you guys to check out the Gospels. Do a prayer study. In the New Testament, you'll start with the Matthew. It'll leave you the Mark, Luke, and John. And we call those synoptic Gospels. Well, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But John's a little bit separate and different, but collectively you get a picture of Jesus' ministry. So doing a deep study in the prayer, you will really dissect those books, you will look. I have all the praying that Jesus did, even with the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer, Disciple Prayer. And I did a series on that. I can't remember, but it's in the archives. On the Lord's Prayer, I call it Disciples' Prayer. Because the disciples ask, teach us how to pray. Why do you think they said that? Because they seen Jesus pray. And they seen amazing things happen. And Jesus was the Son of God. And he prayed. He had no sin in his life, regardless how the liberal theology or the progressive Christianity out there today, the left-wing Christian will tell you sin, that God sinned, or Jesus sinned, and that is wrong. My Bible tells me Jesus did not sin. He was blameless. He was sinless. He had to be that perfect sacrifice, the blood that was spilt. You see, when we seek God in prayer, we actually see who we really are. We start realizing the sin in our lives. And we will be more sensitive to the sin every day. I know I am. The more I pray, the more I seek his face. And of course, through studying and fasting, all that stuff too. Prayer. We get sensitive more to sin. And when we do sin, it drives us, or should drive us, to repentance. You may be driving down the road and do something. I mean, you can slow down, pull over the side and repent, or you don't get in no wreck, but I mean, you can see God's face while you're driving and repenting. I do it. You see, that prayer is that asking forgiveness and confessing your sins, and we know that he's a faithful and holy God, and he is just to forgive our sins, right? And that restoration needs to come, that fellowship and that close walk with God, where we're not walking more in the flesh, walking in the works of the flesh, right? We strive to reach that mark. We're flesh, but that doesn't give us no excuse not to try. That's why I say real Christianity isn't easy because of that flesh. We want to do it our way or the highway, right? We want to do it our way. Can't think of that song, I Did It My Way. Listen to Good Fight Ministries. They're really good. I enjoy them. I think it's Frank Sinatra that sang that. So that's the theme for heaven. I mean, theme for hell. I did it my way. I don't want to do it my way. I want to do it God's way. And I want to seek his face every day. Even though I will never measure up. That doesn't matter. We have to keep persevering to the end. Enduring to the end. And the way to do that is through prayer. Jesus modeled it. Disciples saw it. They modeled it. The church was founded on prayer. Paul, you see that all through his writings, which he wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament, you will see prayer all through his writings. There's a lot going on there, guys. Tonight, I ask you just look into your life. You can get on your knees. You can, where you're at right now, you can bow your head. It's between you and God. And you can lay it all at the the cross. And that's what the beautiful thing of the cross is. We don't have to have that lamb or that unblemished lamb to put at an altar and sacrifice. Jesus did that. We can come right where we're at now and just lay it all on the cross. Maybe, and if you guys have any questions about salvation, and once again, I encourage you guys to watch this series. Or not really watch it, listen to it. Part 1, part 2, and part 3 and 4. Heavy. Heavy on salvation. Heavy on salvation. Because I know when I study the scripture and the Holy Spirit leads me, salvation and discipleship, they go together. They're not separate. Don't let nobody tell you those are separate. They go together. If you don't want to count the costs, you don't want to walk that narrow path, you want to blend in and conform to this world, then Christianity's not for you. You can call yourself a Christian. You're blue in the face. You can call me judgmental. I've been called judgmental just by proclaiming the gospel. They take Matthew 7:1 and they dirty it. And they will answer for that. I pray for them. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word tonight. I pray if anybody's out there that has questions, that are seeking answers, I pray they reach out to somebody. Somebody that's solid. That has love for God. That has a passion and desire for their life to be different and not blending in to this world. They stand out and they know the Word of God and they stand on the Word of God and they do not compromise who they are. The desire to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. They die daily. They count the cost. This life don't mean nothing to them. They want to decrease so He can increase. They want His name to shine beyond theirs. They want their life to reflect His. Do they see Christ in me or in you? Their life is filled with prayer from morning to night. They seek His face day and night. Like living waters. They just keep coming. Because they can never get enough. Fill us. Lord, I pray. Those that are hurting. Don't know their situations. I know a few unspokens on my part. You know what they're going through, and my heart truly hurts for them. The path, the direction, I don't understand it, but it's not really meant for me to understand it. It just means that I have to have that faith and that trust and obedience, knowing that you have it and you will guide, you will direct. In the end, this world is not our home. All the pain and the suffering that we accumulate in this world does not compare what you have for us when we die as children of truly children of God that have chose because you have allowed us that narrow path that leads straight to you. I pray that those that are attending churches tonight, Lord, I pray that the men within those positions, they point their congregation toward you, that they truly have a heart of prayer. Only you can really see that. And I pray this message reaches I know it will. Those that need to seek you more to correct that part of their life that they may have allowed to drift away like David did. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. Once again, you guys can reach me on Facebook. If you send me a friend request, just please let me know that you got my name from this website. Also through this website, you can send me an email. And I'm on Twitter and MeWe and Social Cross, which is a it's okay social network. But you can, there's not many people on Social Cross, so if you add that app, you can send me a request for that, and we can speak. All right. Well, you guys have a good night. Love y'all. Till we meet again.